It's the Adam Ritz Show, a social awareness talk show touching on fellowship, leadership, philanthropy, and more. Adam hosts the show on location from coast to coast, interviewing college students, student athletes, campus administrators, professional athletes, and social experts about social issues ranging from bullying to Twitter and everything in between. And now, it's your social awareness radio host, Adam Ritz.
All right, welcome to the broadcast. My name is Adam Ritz. Jay Baker is with me, not in the building. We are social distancing. And through technology, I was able to figure out a way, with the help of our engineers, to make it sound as best we can. I know if you've been watching a lot of cable news and news updates on COVID-19, there are a lot of Skype interviews, Zoom video chat interviews that are very awkward. The delay is there. Two people talking at once, especially in a conference call with more than three or four people on the same video chat. And then you throw in the fact that the audio quality is terrible. It sounds like a tin can or there's a huge echo. So thanks to our engineers here at the station, we were able to figure out a way to get Jay's voice and my voice to sound FM broadcast quality as we practice social distancing. Later in the show, we're going to speak with Martin George. Martin is an expert in languages. He owns TLC. It's the Language Center. He can speak about 25 languages, and we'll speak to him later in the show about language education. But for now, it's Jay Baker joining me. How are you, Jay?
Hey, I am doing great, and we're doing the proper social distancing. I'm actually looking at you through my computer because, Adam, as you probably know, many states have now extended the stay-at-home order through the month of April. So it may be May before we all are face-to-face with our coworkers.
I may not see your face with my own eyeballs for a month or more. And that makes me sad. But at least I get to see you on my computer screen. I want to thank our underwriters today, Vibonomics. You can learn more about them at Vibonomics.com. They're an audio software company with an advertising platform broadcasting closed-circuit radio networks across the country inside retail locations and providing a revenue share advertising platform for the host network. You can learn more about that at Vibonomics.com. COVID-19 coverage, of course, everybody's talking about it. I want to give, a shout out to Dolly Parton. I'm sure, Jay, you heard that she just gave $1 million cash to Vanderbilt University to help find a cure for the coronavirus disease. So, Dolly Parton, I thank you for your donation. I cannot wait for them to reopen Dollywood so I can pay it forward and ride one of your roller coasters.
Well, it is interesting just how generous many celebrities have been in this regard. We talked about Drew Brees donating $5 million. Now Dolly Parton, $1 million. It's impressive. It has been a pay it forward through celebrity as we go through COVID-19.
And I know there's a lot of what they call living room concerts, whether you're Elton John or Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers, or a major star through a major platform, web platform, performing from your home studio, or just a local band. And you're putting together some tunage for people to enjoy some live music on the internet while they're stuck in their house. It's the only way we're going to see live music or any sort of live entertainment. We can't go to a venue, so we have to watch it from home. And a lot of these artists are providing their talent along with some sort of donation platform to raise money through either a GoFundMe or something to get to first responders and healthcare workers to provide masks, provide meals, provide support any way they can through the funding and awareness of those, what they've become known as, living room concerts.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk about a little bit, Adam, on the show today about the fact that things really have fundamentally changed. The Family First Coronavirus Support Act has been passed by Congress, and it is known as FFCRA. If you need to read more about it, perhaps you should. They're urging almost everybody at work to be very aware of what you need to know now, under the category Employment Matters. So think about what you need to do, your work at home policy, et cetera. Most businesses, I think, are being extremely helpful for their workers. This is a difficult time. The businesses themselves are responding to the state governor's orders to actually stay at home. So not every business is able to be agile enough to move out of their facilities. But if you are fortunate enough to be in a business that does that, check on that. I think that there's a lot of information there for families.
And you can also, I would suggest, lean on your own human resources department at your employment. I know with our radio station, we have a ton of resources from our human resource manager, and she's doing a fantastic job. And she's at least once, maybe twice a week, sends out a mass email to everyone covering human resource aspects of what's going on from working from home, making sure everybody is, in a great mental state of mind, because it can get depressing or a lot of anxiety when you are quote unquote stuck in your house. And sometimes you feel like if you step outside, you're not going to have any air to breathe. So you have to stay in your house during this time. If you step outside, just be smart, play it smart, follow the rules, follow the suggestions. And as far as your employment goes, we suggest staying in close contact with your human resource manager.
Yeah, that is great advice. Something that I encountered this week, if you are ongoing, if you have any kind of medical procedure or you have an ongoing relationship with your doctor, a lot of visits now you can actually conduct by phone. So I had a follow-up medical visit that was conducted purely by phone. Now, this was for something that was obviously non-emergency, non-critical, but I thought that was interesting that doctor's offices do want you to reach out. And also, if you have a regular prescription that you have filled on a regular basis, I have found that a lot of the major pharmacies actually have the ability for you to set up your account through their website. So this is something too. CVS just recently set up free prescription deliveries for people who are obeying the stay-at-home orders. So there are a number of ways that you can still conduct your life, just also utilizing social distancing. One of the things Adam said was stay connected with your human resources director, but you can also stay connected with the people that you work with.
You know, that's a very interesting human. There's a human touch, social part of what's going on that we're lacking, obviously. And I'm sure you've got a text thread with some buddies, a text thread with some family members, a text thread with coworkers. And the memes, they are a flyin'. You can get through the day a little easier if you see something that makes you chuckle. So one of the things my kids are involved with too is just pictures and memes and just inside jokes. Just now more than ever, we need to stay connected socially. And thank goodness we've got the technology to do that. Can you imagine going through what we're going through 20 years ago before the internet really hit, and we'd have to just the at best our only connection would be the telephone and maybe a conference call or three-way calling. That was the big news 20 plus years ago. We could three-way call somebody. This is the next best thing to actually being there, is looking at your buddy through a TV monitor or your Zoom Slack channel or whatever you do, FaceTime. But yeah, we're missing some human interaction, but we're making it up with all the pictures and memes. And I know at work we're going to have some theme days coming up, which is going to be somewhat ridiculous, and that's okay. I mean, we're going to have, you know, if it's as simple as Hawaiian Shirt Day, we're going to have 40-plus employees working from home on a video conference, and everyone's going to be in a Hawaiian shirt. And that sounds, you know, blasé, or who cares, but it's actually going to get some chuckles and maybe get us through the weekend a little easier once we hang up that phone call and laugh at what Barry looked like in a Hawaiian shirt, you know? Jay, can you hear me? Isn't it odd that we would have technical difficulties after I bragged at the beginning of the show about our engineering staff setting up a perfect broadcast? Well, you know what? Jay, I can see him on my screen. I just can't hear him. So what we'll do is we'll hang up on the video conference with Jay, wish him and his wife the best of luck through the week until we get to next week's show and see where this COVID-19 situation takes us. No doubt we'll be under quarantine again next week, so we'll give this technology another shot. I'm sure everybody listening who's had to work from home has had some sort of technology fail over the course of the last week. Hopefully, it wasn't when you were talking to your best client or trying to close a deal with potentially your biggest client or broadcasting on a nationally syndicated radio show. Hopefully, it was just, you know, you were talking to a cousin you didn't like, or checking in with your in-laws that you hang up on anyway and pretend it's technology's fault. So until I get to the interview with Martin George from the Language Center, I'll go ahead and highlight some of the stories we touched on here at the beginning of the show. One in particular, the Michael McDonald living room concert, or as NPR calls it, the tiny desk concert. NPR has been doing these to entertain people and raise awareness and funding for their properties and their foundation. But when we take a closer look at Michael McDonald and what he did, it is in his home studio. And I have to, I guess, give full disclosure here. I'm also, in addition to this public affairs radio show, I'm also the host of Yacht Rock Radio and the number one largest yacht rock artist on the playlist in the library is Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers. So this headline caught my eye for sure from this week. The headline is Michael McDonald brings yacht rock to your home in NPR's Tiny Desk Concert. This article appears in Rolling Stone, and it's online at rollingstone.com. I put a link to this on my Yacht Rock Radio Facebook page, which is / Yacht Rock Radio. If you go to facebook.com/ Yacht Rock Radio. Singer-keyboardist performs the Doobie Brothers classics from his home in Santa Barbara. Now, on this link, you'll find the YouTube video of him. It's about 15 minutes of him playing solo as well. He's got some great versions of classic Doobies material, minute by minute, with an extended keyboard introduction. He does the number one yacht rock song of all time, which is What a Fool Believes. It's also a number one song from the early 80s, and it won a Grammy. So it's not just big in the yacht rock world. It's probably on a soft rock radio station as we speak. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, NPR has been bringing their Tiny Desk concert series to artists' home, recently with performances by Soccer Mommy and Margot Price. And now the series is sprinkled in the yacht rock magic into your quarantine with Michael McDonald and these Doobie Brothers hits from his home in Santa Barbara. He said, quote, on camera, quote, "Hope you're all staying healthy and staying safe out there," end quote, right after he sang his emotional solo track, Matters of the Heart. And then to wrap it up, he said, "Wishing you all the best of luck and Godspeed through this event we're all living through. We'll see you on the other side." Again, that link is at facebook.com/ Yacht Rock Radio. I'm Adam Ritz. Want to thank you for hanging with us and checking out the show. And you can always check it out online at adamritzshow.com. So we wish you the best of luck as you navigate the COVID-19 landscape of your company. We hope that you are doing well, both first and foremost with your health and safety, and secondarily with your job situation. This is a tough time for everyone, and we're all on the same page. We're all on the same team. We'll get through this together in a few months. I don't know how long it's going to be, but we'll look back on this as a blip on the radar of all of our lives.
Fellowship, leadership, and philanthropy. Conversations and interviews from all over America. It's the Adam Ritz Show.
And welcome back to the show. Our special guest is Martin George. Martin, hello and how are you?
Hi, good to meet you.
You are CEO of LTC. A lot of initials there. Tell us about LTC.
Well, LTC started about 22 years ago, really helping foreign-born internationals who came here for business do their job well. So we taught them language and culture. Now we've really expanded translation, interpreting, cross-cultural training. So we're doing a lot of different things 22 years later.
Well, I want to talk about your foundation work here in a minute, but as far as languages go, I've met you at several conferences, mm-hmm. and you work with so many athletes, professional athletes, cross cultures. Mm-hmm. One of your stories I remember from one of the conferences was about Yao Ming.
Yep.
Everybody remembers 7'5" Chinese mm-hmm. Basketball player, comes to America, plays in Houston, doesn't speak a lick of English. You worked with him.
Yeah, you know, he came over and he was at one of those FIFA World competitions, and Rudy Tomjanovich wanted to talk to him. They couldn't talk to each other, so Rudy said, "Can you interpret for me for a little bit?" And all Rudy said to him is, "Run, run, run, get in condition." But you know, if you can't really talk to the athletes, you know, you have a problem there. And so we've worked with a lot of Major League Baseball teams, the Giants, the Cardinals, won the World Series, and they really say we helped them because you have coaches and their teammates who cannot communicate with them, and they're trying to tell them, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bunt, we're going to sacrifice, we're going to play small ball, get the person over there. And they don't get it. And so they really have to have us come in from, you know, spring training, single A, high A ball, all the way through, help their, you know, athletes really get it linguistically and culturally. Because, you know, if people don't like each other on the sports field, it doesn't work either.
So you work with the San Francisco Giants. They win the World Series. I mean, do you see an instant a bump in your business with other teams? Like, oh, we got to work with this Martin George guy. He's got to help our guys learn how to speak English. He's got to help our coaches learn how to speak Spanish.
You know, humbly, I would say, yeah. And, you know, because at one time, didn't we have the Cardinals, Giants, then Cardinals? And so the only thing in common from the World Series winners were us. And, you know, it's the teams that get it. You know, they're investing time, money, and energy really into player development. And they're seeing, you know, yeah, we might say language is a soft skill, a soft study, but I think in business or in sports, if you cannot communicate effectively, how can you do your job? And so we're helping the stud shortstop do his job out there. You know, he's got to communicate with everybody else on that team effectively.
Well, we bring you on the show to talk about education, academics, you know, languages. Everybody listening to this English-speaking radio show speaks English. Some of our listeners are young, and they're growing up, and they're getting involved in their studies. And I like to bring guys on the show that know a lot about a certain, I guess, course of study. And, you know, we mentioned Spanish with baseball, and it's not just Spanish. I mean, Yao Ming, you speak Chinese. How many languages do you speak?
Well, you know, in my PhD, they really exposed us to about 20 languages now. You know, I probably, you know, can handle about 6-7 on a good day.
What's the 8th language you speak that isn't on that list?
Well, you know, so you go in language clusters, like Slavic languages. So you go Polish, Russian. So you try to go language groups. Chinese, I have Chinese, Cantonese, Fukienese, Taiwanese, Japanese. Then so you try to get language groups, you know, Spanish, Romance language. Everybody understands that. I think, again, what they don't understand is really you want a career in the NBA. NBA is building arenas in China. You work for the NBA. You speak some Chinese. What do you think your career looks like? I mean, so I would encourage anyone who's out there doing anything, really learn another language, learn something that really makes you more marketable to these companies or sports properties who want to hire you. I mean, you know, I meet these young guys. I was just down with the Toronto Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida. And this young guy, he used to work for one of the Smith Barneys, something like that, got a job with a Blue Jays. Jays. You know why? He speaks Spanish fluently. So he gets to go back and forth to the Dominican Republic. He gets to work with all their, you know, talent and athletes coming through. Loves his job. I mean, absolutely loves it. Because he speaks Spanish. The key reason. He knew baseball, too. Played baseball college, you know, had that background and really wanted to be in baseball. He did not like going to an office, sitting in a cubicle. Spanish opened the door for him.
Now, I'm sure you work with all kinds of corporations, global business, people coming to America that can't speak English. But you know what? I just like to focus on the sports because I've got a little bit of a sports background. We cover a lot of sports on this radio show. You know, I can generalize baseball, the Latin American, Spanish speaking, hockey would probably be French. Can you really Formula One racing? I mean, Portuguese, German.
Yeah, you have those. You know, and really, you think about one of the things we forget, like the LPGA. So, 144 girls every week go out and play golf. 95 of them, English is not their first language. Wow. Korean's number one.
No kidding.
You know, yeah, and you think about the baseball players that we're getting now. We're seeing Japanese baseball players, Taiwanese baseball players, Korean baseball players. You still have about 32% of our Major League Baseball players speak Spanish as their first language. That's a big percentage. That's a huge percentage.
Martin George is our guest, the CEO of LTC. The company started as Language Training Center, and it has grown into LTC. What's the full name of the company, and how do we find it online?
You know, we had to go to LTC Language Solutions because offering written translation, oral interpreting, Language Training Center didn't really get it. You can find us at languagetrainingcenter.com. We kept that. You know, we're coming out with a new website in about a month, so you'll be able to find us there. You know, Twitter, LinkedIn, you can find Martin George on LinkedIn, all of that, we're doing it.
And you're a guy that, you mentioned you got your PhD, languages, you speak 7 or 8 fluently, and you grew that love of language into a corporation. You've got 2 national locations, headquarters. How many employees do you have?
You know, do you want to tell me how many I put on payroll or how many Obama tells me I have? That's the new thing, isn't it? He tells me I have 88 full-time employees. I think kicking around here, we have about 45 in Indianapolis and 5 full-time in Orlando right now.
Is there a pecking order in your company? As far as the people on staff that can only speak English, I mean, do you feel sorry for those people?
You know, I do feel – here's why I feel sorry, Adam, because every time I go with them, they'll say, how many languages do you speak? That's what you ask me.
I know.
And so everybody thinks you're working for a language company. So, you know, it is a disadvantage, and we let them study languages for free. So if they want to, they can certainly hop in with one of our instructors.
Well, I know there's 1,000 stories. We touched on Yao Ming. We touched on World Series champion San Francisco Giants. Top of your head, another favorite story of yours from working with professional athletes?
Well, you know, maybe I'll go racing. Vitor Mira, you know, Vitor really didn't have that. He never won an Indy Racing League championship, but, you know, he came here and really needed sponsorship. And so we were able to work with him, get him to do interviews. And really the reason I point that out is because sponsorship's everything in racing. And so really trying to find those sponsors. We were able to help him with interview skills just like this, be able to speak to sponsors and hang out. I mean, I think you got to remember, even like LPGA girls, I mean, these girls need sponsors on their hats and bags. Mm-hmm. You go out there and you can't speak, you're from Korea and you're kind of shy and you can't get a sponsor, I mean, it really wrecks their career. So we work with about 50 LPGA girls, you know, we have in the past, and, you know, we continue to help some of them. Beatrice Riccari just called me the other day and said, I have 2 Japanese sponsors coming on with me because of my work with you over the last 2 years. I set the course. I wanted to have Japanese sponsors. I've been studying Japanese. Thank you. You know, that's, you know, we feel proud of that.
That's something you should be proud of. That is very, very cool to hear. Martin George, our guest, CEO of LTC, and we want to move to your foundation work now, your company. We like to highlight a lot of the service work going on across the globe, and what are some of the projects you guys do?
Well, you know, I think you probably read Conscious Capitalism. capitalism. I mean, conscious capitalism really is what we're about. It's not about growing a big company, and it's not getting all you can, canning on you all you get, sitting on your can. So we have a foundation called Cypress International. We do a lot with homelessness in Orlando and other markets around the country. We've partnered with a group, Devereaux. They're in 30 states around the country, and they help with disenfranchised, disabled kids, even human trafficking. And then we are building a habitat home. So we're partnering with organizations like that to sort of give back to the community.
Does the home you're building, Habitat for Humanity, I don't know if this is a stupid question, but I'll ask it. Does your background as an expert in several languages feed into how the house is being built?
No.
Is there an intercom system that has several different radio stations from across the planet?
One of the things we have one of the things you might not think about is we do a lot of sign language. So we did ask Habitat, is there some deaf family that could use a house? But, what they really do is they have people in sort of a pecking order who've qualified. So we were happy to help whatever the next family was. And, it was so great to have our team out there. We had, the president, Hannah Perkey, was on the roof with my sales guy, Doug Price, and it's good to just be out there rolling up your sleeves. I got a little sunburn, yeah. But you want to give back. You don't want to just sit in your office and really do what you do all the time. I mean, we're giving our staff a day off a week for the next 6 weeks to go out and build that house. So every Friday, a different group gets to go out and work on that house.
That is awesome and inspirational, and it makes me want to get off my couch and help out, and hopefully our listeners hear these type of stories too and want to get involved in their community. I have to ask you about the sign language. Now, you brought up that. Right over my head, I think of a language expert that speaks seven languages. I didn't even think that you handle sign language as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we didn't start doing that, but probably 8 to 10 years ago, we had a lot of our clients say, this is probably our toughest nut to crack. There are federal mandates, state mandates. If you're doing something public, it's by law, you have to have a sign language interpreter there. And so what we really have done, Adam, is if we can't do it well, we're not going into it. So I had to do like hiring RID certified interpreters. We're hosting conferences. We have one in our office in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's in the Midwest. But, this Saturday, June 20th, we have people from all over the world coming in for a conference here in our center here. And so we just do things like that, that really give back to the community. And we're pretty proud of what we're doing with the sign language community.
So you started with languages, you maybe didn't know or see the future with the sign language on board. You adapt, you get sign language on board, so that begs the question, what's the next step in the evolution of LTC?
Well, it's funny. I was down, took my two daughters to Disney last year and happened to be with Cincy, the plug-in, air freshener thing. We had some sign language interpreters. They were in a booth, and I looked around the convention center in Orlando, and I saw like Mary Kay and Tupperware and all these people, and I said, you know what? We need to be doing more conference interpreting. So last year, we did maybe 5 conferences with 5 booths. Last week, we had 20 booths in 5 locations around the country. We had Phoenix, Chicago, Orlando, somewhere on the East Coast, West Coast. So just in 1 week, we had 20 booths where we're having, these are UN trained interpreters, highest level interpreters. They sit inside that glass booth and they're simultaneously interpreting what the conference is doing in English to everyone who doesn't speak English as their first language. We do sign language for President Obama. We do the VFW convention. So we're really looking. We get to do, artists like Johnny Cougar Mellencamp. He uses sign language for us. We're out in those kind of venues. So it's cool. We get to do a lot of things. But I think that conference interpreting is really the next wave of where we're going to see. We're trying to see, how many salespeople do we really put on to help have people understand that LTC does this a lot now.
Have you ever been asked to voice the soundtrack for Brad Pitt in a Chinese version of one of his movies?
We do movies and we do voiceovers, but not Brad Pitt. But we've done a lot. You know, John Mellencamp's ex-wife was in here studying Spanish or something, and I knocked on the door, asked how's everything going. She said, "Just a minute, I'm on the phone with Penelope Cruz." So I'm like, "Oh, excuse me." But you know, I got personally to go to John Cena's house and teach him Chinese. 2 years later, John Cena can do interviews in Chinese. One of the smartest men you'll ever meet, one of the most committed men. WWE, you know, you wouldn't think when you see these big burly guys who practice all day long, it is amazing to see what some of these athletes can do when they set their mind to it.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live, both in studio and across the country. For information on this broadcast, including how to hear this show on a station in your city, visit adamritzshow.com.